If you've been listening, you've been coming on Sundays, you know we've been doing a series on ye which are spiritual. Ye which are spiritual. We've been dealing with 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and chapter 3. So if you'll open the precious word of God this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and then we'll also look at a few verses in chapter 3. We are going to skip around a little bit this morning. I want to look at some things. We've been just dealing with this subject now for several Sundays. So all of these services, all of these messages are on sermon audio. They're all on Facebook. They're also all on YouTube. So if you want to get caught up, you can do that. I would encourage you to listen to all of the message on ye which are spiritual. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and chapter 3, three classifications of all human beings. God classifies all of humans in these three categories in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. We've looked at them extensively. We've looked at the natural man. You find him in verse 14 of chapter 2. This is a person that has never been saved. They've never been born again. They're natural men. They walk as men. They do not have the indwelling power or the indwelling of the Holy Spirit inside of them. So spiritual things they do not understand. Then the second qualification, if you'll look there in verse number 14, they're foolish to them. Spiritual things are foolish to the lost person. They don't get it, nor do they care, nor does it make any sense to them. They're not interested in it. So we need to be understanding. When we're dealing with a lost person, we don't expect them to understand everything that we understand, but we are by the Spirit of God asking the Spirit of God to illuminate these things to them. So the natural man. Then we find the carnal Christian in chapter 3, verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Now, we always look at that verse 2 and say, well, the reason they're carnal is they can't take the strong meat. They're only feeding on baby food. True. But the greatest distinction, the greatest characterization of a carnal Christian is, I want you to look in verse 3. "For ye are yet carnal." Why? "For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions." Are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now, don't let that phrase, "you walk as men," go too quickly. Because here's the thing, a carnal Christian is a Christian. They have trusted Christ as their Savior. They've been born again. The Holy Spirit indwells them, but they're not walking in the Spirit. They're walking by their flesh and their feelings. They're walking as men. That is one of the saddest statements in all of the Word of God, that we have the availability of the power of the Spirit of God and we walk as a man. We walk in our flesh. We walk in our lusts. So a carnal person is marked by, listen to me now, strife, divisions, fussing, and fighting. That to me, and we're going to look at this throughout the whole entirety of this. What is life made up of? Are y'all, you know what they're made up of? Relationships. Now you think about it a minute. Life is wonderful when our relationships are wonderful, but you take a relationship that goes south, our life just becomes affected by that. You think about it. Relationships makes life wonderful, but a bad relationship or a struggling relationship makes life tough. So we go off to some counselor, we go off to some psychologist, and we try to get all of this help, and the truth is there's no help in many of those avenues, because here's the problem. It is a spiritual problem. Carnal Christians love to argue. They love to envy. They love to have divisions. They love to have strife. Because he's dealing with a church that's marked with division, strife, and envy. And he said, "Are you not carnal?" He said, "You're walking as a man. You're walking by your feelings and your flesh." So a carnal Christian, is someone saved? Yes. Someone that has the indwelling Holy Spirit inside of them? Yes. Have they been born again? Yes. But they're simply letting their flesh and their feelings, listen to me now, church, dominate their life. And if you allow your flesh and feelings, it will dominate your life. So we see the carnal Christian. Then we see the spiritual Christian. Look at verse 15. But he that is spiritual. Verse chapter 2, verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged no man. Now, don't let that confuse you. I've dealt with that. I'm just going through some review. I feel necessary. This being judge of no man's mean he's not understood. They're not understood. A spiritual person is not understood. He gives that weird counsel. See, and I'm not being ugly, but someone that is spiritual knows when someone else is giving spiritual counsel. Now, I want to just say something to the church here real quick. And I want to look at all of you, because everybody that's here that's a member of this church, people think you're a Christian. They don't know whether you're carnal or spiritual. But I'll tell you right now, you better be careful with the counsel you give. Because I'm going to be honest, I've heard some counsel that has made me cringe as a Christian from another Christian. It's not been right. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know it's not right? Because it's not spiritual. What's spiritual? Well, it's not understood of most philosophy of man. The spiritual is if you try to help a marriage, a relationship, without using Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, you're not giving right help. You're not giving wise counsel. Galatians 6, 1 is the absolute, as far as I'm concerned, standard for what God wants us to do in any kind of a relationship. And if these church members at Corinth would have tapped into Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and been led of the Spirit of God, they wouldn't have had all these divisions, they wouldn't have had all the envying, and they wouldn't have had all the strife. Wow, the Bible says if a person is taken in a fault, you hear me? If a person is taken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Now look here. If you're not being led of the Spirit of God from that point on, you're going to discredit the rest of that verse. Because this ain't normal. What God tells you in Galatians chapter 6 is not the normal counsel that I hear most Christians give today. Here's what I hear. I'll just give up on it. I'll tell you right now, they've hurt you, and so here's what you need to do. Anything other than Galatians 6, 1 is carnal. You say, Pastor, when people come to you and get counsel, do they get Galatians 6, 1? If I'm right, they do. Pastor, you don't understand. You don't know what they've done to you. Doesn't matter what they've done to you. Other than something physical or something that obviously, my wife and I have never counseled anyone to get into a harmful situation. Ever. Never. Never been done. Never have we ever counseled anyone to get into an unsafe environment. Never. Ever, 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 ever. Do y'all get me? Ever. But I'll tell you right now, I'm guilty all day, every day, if I don't apply Galatians 6:1 to every relationship I've ever seen. Period. Guilty all day long. Ye which are spiritual. What are you supposed to do? Restore in such a spirit of meekness with a spirit of meekness. Why? Lest ye be tempted. See, a spiritual person understands this. It could be me that has failed. And by the way, it has been. And by the way, it has been you too. See, it takes two to tango. And in this church, he's trying to deal with the natural, the carnal, but the spiritual. The spiritual is not understood, but the Bible says they are comparing everything spiritual. Can I make that a little down to earth? You say, Pastor, you give Dr. Phil a rough time. Listen, I've listened to Dr. Phil before, and I'm going to be honest with you. As far as walking and giving counsel as a man, he does a great job. Better than most psychologists and marriage counselor I've ever heard. But here's my problem with Dr. Phil. He's not spiritual. You say, Pastor, how can you put judgment on him? Because he's not comparing spiritual with spiritual. He never opens the Word of God and gives those people what they need. Like Dr. Phil created marriage? No, God created marriage. God has the ultimate word and truth and counsel for marriage and relationships. And the spiritual person understands that. By the way, it doesn't always we want to follow it. Do you know what my flesh and what my feelings when someone does something wrong to me, do you know what it immediately wants to do? Get back. Retaliate. Forgive. Forget that. But God says to forgive in a spirit of meekness. Wait a minute, God. You're asking me something to do that I can't do. Bingo! And you'll never do it unless you start yielding to the Spirit of God. Saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I know everybody's going to think I'm crazy. I know a lot of people's not going to understand it, but I'm going to follow you, Lord. You tell me to restore if someone has failed me. You've told me to forgive them in a spirit of meekness. And Lord, you've also told me to examine my own life and not stand in a place of haughtiness over them and say, oh, look down upon them. Look what they did. No, I have to consider myself because it could be me. Are y'all with me? That's spiritual. I want to live that way. I don't care if nobody in this world understands me. I want to live that way. I want to give that counsel. And I desire for our church to live that way and to give that kind of counsel, because here's the truth. The spiritual lifestyle, yielding to the Spirit of God, is celestial. It's wonderful. So quickly, a Christian becomes a Christian because he's rightly related to Jesus Christ as a Savior. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ your Savior, listen to me, get saved today. He loves you, He died for you, He raised from the dead on the third day to save you from your sin. What a sad deal to live in this life, know all the troubles and the struggles, and to die without Christ. He has died and He has risen because He loves you. He has paid your sin debt in full. I beg you to trust Him today. And then you become rightly related to the Son, Jesus Christ. You become a child of God. You're a joint heir with Jesus. So a Christian becomes a Christian because he becomes rightly related to Jesus Christ. But now listen, a spiritual person becomes spiritual when they're rightly related to the Holy Spirit of God. You're tender to the Spirit. You're yielding to the Spirit. See, the world tells you one thing, but the Spirit inside of you is saying, no, Mark, this is how I've instructed you to live. This is the decision that I've led you. This is how you're to respond in this situation. And I'm listening to the Spirit. I'm yielding to the Spirit. See, I'm in right relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. And He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. How does He do that? Through the Spirit of God. So we've talked about being spiritual. We must be rightly related to the Spirit. Now, quickly, as review, there's ministries of the Holy Spirit of God. We must understand this. He reproves the world of sin. That's one of the Holy Spirit's ministry. By the way, you'll never get saved until you realize you need to be saved. And the only one that reveals to you that you need saved is the Lord, and He does that through the Holy Spirit of God. When I got saved at the age of 5, I wasn't a hardened criminal. I mean, you know, at 5, I wasn't a hardened criminal, but I'm going to tell you right now, I was sitting in church one morning. I was sitting right back there in the second row from the back, because that's where my parents, we always came to church. We sat in the second row from the back, and I sat back there that day, and I'll never forget Mr. Pilkington faithfully preached that morning. And as a 5-year-old boy, I listened, and I got under conviction, and the Holy Spirit said, Mark, you need to be saved. I knew I had lied. I knew I had stolen some things. I knew that I'd fallen short of the glory of God. And as a 5-year-old boy, I went to my mother and I said, Mom, I need to get saved. And she led me to the Lord. And when I was 5, I put faith in Christ. But that's not normal, because most people today don't think they're wrong. The Holy Spirit reveals to us that we're wrong. That's a ministry of the Spirit. He convicts us. He reproves us. Then He regenerates us. That's a ministry. He makes us a child of God. The moment you get saved, in John chapter 3, verse 6, you're born of the Spirit. I was born of man and woman, 1974, July 24th. And by the way, thank you for all of the kind words, the happy birthdays and the gifts and the cards yesterday. We had a great day. But I was born physically, July the 24th, 1974. But praise God, I was born again of the Spirit of God when I was five. So He regenerates, He indwells. That's another ministry of the Spirit. When you get saved, He indwells you. Then He baptizes you. The moment you get saved, He baptizes you. Acts chapter 2. I've spent a whole series on Acts chapter 2 on the baptizing of the Holy Spirit. One time. It happens when you get saved. You're baptized with the Holy Ghost. It's talking about when Jesus gave the gift of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. And then I told you the ministry of sealing. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. He seals till the day of redemption. And I used the little illustration. How many of y'all can? You ever try to get one of them cans off that's been pressurized for all those years? I mean, sometimes it's all you can do to get that seal to break. And I mean, you know, I've seen people do this, whack, whack, whack. And I mean, listen to me. If I can't get a jar off of a seal, listen to me. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit seals us and ain't nobody going to pop us. Right there, y'all just say amen. So away with the, well, I tell you what, you can have it and lose it. No, the Holy Spirit seals you, so when you get it, you got it. Till the day of redemption. Away with these silly ideas. Well, I tell you right now, did you do enough to get saved? No, I didn't, but my Savior did. The Holy Spirit, He is the seal. And then lastly, and this is what I'm going to spend the rest of the whole series on, the filling of the Spirit of God. Because we're talking about spiritual, right? Ye which are spirit. What does that mean? You got to be filled with the Spirit. So the Bible teaches there are two classes of Christians. There's the carnal and there's the spiritual. And it all has to do how you and I are relating to the indwelling Holy Spirit that took up residence in your life the moment you got saved. So here's the difference. Those who abide in Christ and those who abide not. Those who walk in the Spirit or those who walk as men. Those who walk in newness of life, or upon those who walk after the flesh. Those who have the Spirit in them and upon them, versus only the ones that have the Spirit in them but not upon them. By the way, there is a difference. If you're saved, you have Him in you. But the truth is He upon you? Is He upon you? The counsel you give, the life you live. Are you filled with the Spirit of God? Is the power of God resting upon you? When someone gets in your presence, do they know that person's been with Jesus? See, there's a difference. And I'm afraid we've sold that way too short. Oh, we're saved, Pastor. We're saved. We're going to heaven. That's not the question. Is the Spirit of God upon you? What about when you give counsel to your children? What about when you give counsel to your grandchildren, even at 3 years of age? Is the Spirit upon you, or are you filled with the flesh? Are you filled with your feelings? Are you filled with your envy and jealousy? Are you filled with your selfishness that you want to guide your children's lives? No, being filled with the Spirit means you're giving counsel to your children the way God would give counsel to your children. Being filled with the Spirit being upon you. I don't know about you, I desire to live that way. Those who are spiritual and those who are carnal, all of this has to do with the quality of our daily lives that we live, and the quality is vast as the ocean. You show me a carnal Christian, I'm going to show you a carnal Christian that's going to have struggle in relationships all their life. They're going to have envying, strife, fights, split-ups, bust-ups, break-ups, bad stuff. Listen to me now, and I'm not being ugly. I say it as kind as I can. But the reason he's even given this instruction is because the Corinthian church was fighting with one another. They were arguing. They were fighting. They were fussing. Their relationships had gone bad. And he said, are you not carnal? A carnal Christian, their daily life is filled with, oh, what is it? What are they doing? What are they doing? What are they doing? What did he say? What did he say? What did he say? Oh my, what are they doing? See, a carnal Christian's always, well, I'll tell you what, they getting one up on me? Are they doing this? Are they doing it? No. That's what a carnal does. Well, I'll tell you right now, they're not going to talk to me that way. See, a spiritual person don't live like that. Well, I'll tell you right now, I got something to say. See, a spiritual person don't act like that because they're led of the Spirit. A carnal person's dominated by their flesh, Bless God, they're not going to talk to me like that. Well, then go ahead. You're going to have messed up relationships all your life. You say, well, I tell you right now, I'm not going to forgive. But what happens when you hurt somebody? Get ready, because what you reap's what you sow. You ain't going to get forgiven either. You know, it's amazing. And I don't think my mom and dad ever really realized what it meant about pastors and ministers and people in the ministry until their son became one. It opened up a whole new world. So here's the question. A lot of lights come on then. You say, wow, you know what? It's amazing. Spirituality doesn't change just because it's your family. Spirituality is the same for everybody. It's the same counsel for, well, I'll tell you right now, well, I'll tell you what, I can't do that. That's my daughter. Well, wait a minute. You better be careful there. What's the Bible teach? I'll tell you right now, you just don't understand. That's my son. Doesn't matter what, if it's your son or not. The carnal Christian is always dominated by the flesh, but the spiritual man, boy, he is interested in giving their family truth. The vast difference between a carnal Christian and a spiritual one is as vast as the ocean. Can I give y'all a point in case? I cannot even recognize who I was. Y'all go back with me to Hinton, West Virginia, 1995, 1994, 1993, 1992. I can't even recognize that young man. Who is he? Who is he? You know what I'd love to be able to do? Turn back time, go back to 1992 and slap that young man and say, Mark, what you doing? Because I told you I was saved at five. But I certainly wasn't a spiritual Christian. Listen to me. At best, I was carnal. I was dominated by the flesh. I was dominated by the world's philosophy. I was dominated. But boy, I'll tell you right now, at the age of 21, listen to me, God got a hold of my heart. And by the way, I wish I could tell you when it was the sun was shining and everything was great. No, it was the darkest, deepest valley of my life. One of the darkest, deepest valleys of my life. You know what I had come to? I'll never forget it. I'm going to share this with you. I was laying on a bed, prostrate, in a middle room of a house. And I can remember laying on that bed, completely broken. And I don't mean financially. And here's what I cried up to God. I said, Lord, I can't do this no more. Here's what I said, and I mean it with all my heart. I said, I've tried it my way, and it doesn't work. I need your help. For the first time in my life, I got interested in the Spirit of God. And when He started speaking to me, here's what started. I started saying, yes. I didn't care what Mr. Joe told me. I didn't care what Miss Sally told me. I was listening to what the Spirit of God and what my Bible was saying. And some of the stuff people thought I was crazy as crazy could be. But I said, Lord, I'm following you. I got to do this. I can't do it anymore. I've done tried it my way. I'm trusting you. And there was things in that Bible that I didn't understand, but there was a whole bunch in the Bible I did, and I just started saying yes to the things I understood. And y'all ready? Business picked up. And I looked at everything different. Oh, the vastness between a spiritual person and a carnal Christian is as vast as the ocean. The transition from the carnal to the spiritual is dealt with at length in the Bible. It's possible. And I want to help you to understand the filling of the Spirit of God. Would it be useless to try? I believe it would be useless to try. I've heard a lot of people say, I know exactly when I got filled with the Spirit of God and there was some experience. I think dealing with experiences could be confusing. I have read of some great men of God and great women that have felt the filling of God in their life at a particular moment. I've read some where they were laying on the cemetery prostrate of someone they loved and they asked God to fill them. But I want you to know something. The filling of the Spirit of God is something that takes place over and over and over again. Can I say to have the mind of Christ? Can I ask you all a question? For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Verse 16 of chapter 2. Can I ask y'all a question? Is it possible to have the mind of the Lord? Ever thought about it? Is it possible? Look at me. Yes. Do you desire to have the mind of the Lord? Can I help every teacher here just a second? Every teacher, when you get up and instruct people, you ought to have the mind of the Lord. When your family gathers around, maybe a bed, maybe a table, you'll have times throughout the day of your life as a mom and a dad, your children will come to you at sometimes you'll think the most inopportune times, but they'll come with a life-changing question and they expect mommy and daddy to be able to answer it. Do you have the mind of the Lord? Do you understand the advice that you give a little child that comes up to you today, even in children's church or maybe just walking down this hall? Do you understand that a question that they might ask might mean life or death to somebody? Do you have the mind of the Lord? Is it possible? Oh, yes, it's possible. The Holy Spirit that indwells us. Would you turn quickly to the Gospel according to John? If you can't get there quick, just write it down. I want to read something to you. John chapter 16, I want to instruct you in the work of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says in verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, when He's come, He will guide you into all truth. Notice this. Now notice what He says. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Do you know things to come? Are you interested in just today? Are you interested in helping your children 5 years from now, 5 days from now, having the mind of the Lord? Here's the amazing thing. His purpose is to reveal Christ. Here's what's amazing about the Holy Spirit. He don't speak of Himself. That's an amazing thing. You're not going to be in my presence but a few minutes. You're going to hear all about me. The Holy Spirit says He doesn't speak of Himself, but His purpose is to reveal Christ to you. Although He does not reveal Himself, listen to me, He is the cause. The Holy Spirit is the cause of all spirituality. That's what He came in to do. When you got saved and the Holy Spirit came and indwelled your body, that's what He came in there to do. So can I say, His work is to manifest the life that is Christ. You get that? That's His job. It's to manifest the life of Christ. When you tell someone you're a Christian, do you know what they have a right to expect? You live like Christ. You're a Christian. You should... To them, they should think you live like Christ. That's exactly right. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit and the life that is Christ. For me to live is Christ. The only possible way to live this outliving life, stay with me now, is the in-living Spirit. It's the only way. You're not going to do it on your own. I'm not going to do it on my own. But God gives us the gift. He gives us the tool. He gives us the resource when we get saved. And the Holy Spirit of God, this is a result of the Spirit's filling. Now I want you to note, three times in the New Testament that the effect of strong drink, alcohol, strong drink, is put over against the work of the Spirit's filling of a Christian. You say, Pastor, why? Well, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, and let's look at one. One is Luke chapter 1, verse 15. The other one is in Acts chapter 2. They all thought that the disciples were drunk when they were preaching in the Spirit of God. They thought they were drunk. There was a controlling power over them, like they had been drunk. But in Galatians chapter number, actually Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Ephesians 5, 18. Let's look at this and let me explain it a little bit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now listen, you say, Pastor, why do you believe that the Lord used the analogy of strong drink? Well, I think it's very simple. It's a wonderful object lesson. First of all, we understand as alcohol stimulates the physical forces of a man. And by the way, say, oh, alcohol don't affect me. Well, you're the only one. Somebody say amen. It affects people. Y'all know, I've gave y'all this before, but we had a man in Hinton, West Virginia, and I'm just going to be honest with you. He was known as Crying Eddie. Some people called him Drunk Eddie, but a lot of people called him Crying Eddie because everywhere he walked, he was crying. He's walking around like this, and one day we're sitting in the house, and in Hinton, West Virginia, you left your door open in the middle of the day. My dad and I was in the living room watching a bass show or something. About that time, the door opens up. Old Crying Eddie comes busting in our door. And I'm going to tell you what, I've never seen my dad get bow up more in my life. Boy, he jumped up. He said, you get out of this house. He said, don't you ever come in this house like you. I have to say, that wasn't Eddie when he wasn't drunk. His old pastor does. Does alcohol affect people? Well, ask Crying Eddie. He normally wouldn't have knocked on my door. Hey, Mr. Jeremy, you're a policeman in Saudi Daisy. Do you think alcohol affects people? How many times do you think you've arrested someone if they wasn't under the influence of alcohol? They'd have had a great day. Many times. Alcohol affects people. You know what? It controls people. Oh, don't mind him. He's just drunk. Oh, here's why the analogy is so wonderful. Are you ready? Because here's what's amazing. As people and men and women are prone to turn to alcohol to help them over difficult places and times, but listen to me, but for the Christian facing an impossible responsibility of a heavenly walk is directed to the Spirit of God, instead of grabbing for a bottle, we just submit to the Spirit of God. He becomes our source. He helps us through that difficult time. Because by the way, you can go and get drunk and you think the problem's gone, but when you wake up, it's usually worse. But oh, I tell you right now, give me the Spirit. He'll help me through any difficult time. And by the way, not only as people turn to alcohol in difficult times, the Christians should turn to the Spirit of God during difficult times. Here's the other one. Alcohol controls, so does the Spirit. The Bible says that we be not drunk with wine wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Why? Because instead of letting the alcohol control your life or some other substance, by the way, it could be anything that people turn to and have to have. I mean, we live in a world of many addictions today. How about we get addicted on the Spirit of God? Somebody say amen. Because I've learned this, nobody gets killed in a car accident when you're filled with the Spirit. No one gets in an argument when you're filled with the Spirit. No one gets locked up in jail because you're filled with the Spirit. No one has a problem with another person when you're filled with the Spirit. How about we get addicted to the Spirit? Be controlled by the Spirit. You know what the Spirit will do? He'll make you the most loving, thankful, spiritual, wonderful. How many of you women would love to be married to the best husband ever? Would you raise your hand? Then you better pray he gets addicted to the Spirit of God. Because I'm going to tell you something, your husband, no matter how hard he tries, without the Spirit of God, he'll never love you like he could. He'll never treat you like he could unless he gets addicted to the Spirit of God. Can I say, this alcohol controls, it takes over. So as we yield and submit to the Holy Spirit of God, He controls us. That's our desire. To be filled with the Spirit is to have the Spirit fulfilling in all of us that God intended. Let me just say it like this. You don't need more of the Spirit. You hear me? You don't need more of Him. Here. He needs more of you. He needs more of me. How many of y'all getting cool in here? Not a one. How many of you getting help this morning? Could you help me just a little bit? Appreciate the three. But listen to me. Get out of the way and let him do what he's to do. Now, look, are you interested in it? That's the question. Then quickly, the spiritual person experiences the divine purpose and plan in his daily life. It will be so very different. And then as I close, and all God's people said, you're ready today. You know what the Spirit produces? Christian character. If you'll come back tonight, here's what I'm going to promise you we're going to do. We're going to shut all these doors. We have one unit in here working. It's the little one, unfortunately. Because if the big one was working, we wouldn't be having a problem this morning. But the little unit with the little, not these big round ones are just decorations today. But these little ones, they're working. So we're going to shut these doors. And by tonight at 6 o'clock, if we keep the doors shut, we'll all come in. Don't leave the door. We're going to shut it real tight. We're going to seal up. When you get in here at 6 o'clock, right when it starts getting hot, your preachers will quit. So don't miss tonight. Because you know why? We're going to talk about what does the Spirit produce? If you're filled with the Spirit, if you're letting the Spirit have control of your life, if you're yielding to the Spirit, if you're saying yes to the Spirit, because that's what it is. It's just yielding. It's saying yes. And by the way, it's going to fight your flesh. It's going to fight a lot of ideas that people give you. That's why I think sometimes I say, please don't listen to so-and-so. Because sometimes so-and-so gives damaging counsel. I just hope it's nobody here. Spiritual counsel. In other words, we're controlled by the Spirit. You know what it produces? Christian character. You know what, where we find them? Galatians chapter 5. You know what they are? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. I don't know about you, but I want all of them in my life. And the only way I can have these in my life is by letting the Holy Spirit have more of me. Now, are you interested? I hope you are. All of your relationships will depend upon it. The quality of your relationships will depend upon it. The quality of your life will depend upon how you respond to the Spirit of God. You ever seen people, and I'm going to close, that's like had 50 years of just broken, bad, ugly relationships? There's a reason. There's a reason. Somebody, if they're saved, they're not letting the Spirit of God help them do what they're not able to do without Him. Do you know what God, how He instructs us to raise our children? We cannot do it. It doesn't make sense the way God tells us. It doesn't make any sense to us. But with the Spirit of God, it makes perfect sense. So spiritually minded people have such a higher grade of life. I desire that for you. I desire that for me. I desire that for every child that comes through this door, these doors. God help us to be spiritual.